Seekers. Friday is my day to play. It is Friday. Welcome to tonight's program. Hope you have a fun weekend planned. This hour is being sponsored by, let me see here, Evan from Renton, Washington. Evan. His message, I believe that the capitalistic swine pigs are on a general mission of genocide of the 99%, for lack of a better word. Examples? The Second Amendment has cited its right to bear arms as our protection so we can overthrow the government. 2, no on health care. 3, no on Social Security. 4, the constant warfare we engage in, which not only kills our own, but much more of our so-called enemies. 5, jail us on a president say-so, no right of habeas corpus. 6, the constant attack on unions to prevent people from making a living wage. Seems like a program of genocide to me. Evan from Renton, Washington. Well, it does kind of smell that way, doesn't it, Evan? Thanks for the sponsorship, Evan. I appreciate it. We will be doing podcast trivia tonight, and also Mike Malloy Radio, or the return of Mike Malloy Radio Gumshoe, a little bit later on in the program. We gave you a sneak preview last night. Tonight is the official opening. When I saw this today, I just about lost my Chick-fil-A sandwich. I'm sorry, I can't. I don't know. Sometimes it almost, when things like this happen, it almost makes me think that maybe this vicious, violent Judeo-Christian God really exists. Did you hear what happened? Huh? This morning? Donald Perry, the vice president of corporate public relations for Chick-fil-A, died of a heart attack. Doom, 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 doom. Chick-fil-A issued a statement saying, Don was a member of our Chick-fil-A family for nearly 29 years. For many of you in the media, he was the spokesperson for Chick-fil-A. He was a well-respected, well-liked media executive in the Atlanta and University of Georgia communities, and we will all miss him. Yeah. Now, Donald Perry had the job of responding to the firestorm created by the president of the company, Dan Cathy, who is the son of the founder of Chick-fil-A. Cathy said last week that his company supports, quote, the biblical definition of the family unit. And he also went on to say he prays for God's mercy on our generation that has such a prideful, arrogant attitude to think that we have the audacity to try to redefine what marriage is about, unquote. Well, Perry, the guy who was plucked to go to heaven this morning, Perry issued a statement last week that said, quote, going forward, our intent is to leave the policy debate over same-sex marriage to the government and political arena. The Chick-fil-A culture and service tradition in our restaurants is to treat every person with honor, dignity, and respect, regardless of their belief, race, creed, sexual orientation, or gender. Okay. So poor Donald Perry was given the job of similar to the last guy in the circus parade. The guy with the broom and the big barrel and the shovel. And the elephant in the parade, of course, is Dan Cathy, who had to stick his arrogant ass up in the air and say, ha ha, I'll tell you what, we make chicken, and we don't like queers either. And poor old Donald Perry had to absorb everything. So I guess, who knows? As the Bible says, the Lord works in mysterious ways, his wonders to reveal. So it just seems horrifically coincidental, though, if it was not an actual plucking. You don't suppose that God might have plucked the wrong person out of Chick-fil-A, do you? Now, this selective plucking occurs with some regularity. You know, people have been plucked recently because they were badass loudmouths who were sowing dissent and disorder and discontent. You know who they were. Hey, Satan! Oh, no, I'll talk to him later. You know who they were. Right? And it just makes you stop and think. Maybe the Judeo-Christians, maybe they do have some kind of firepower tucked away up there behind the clouds. Some huge, vengeful being who loves his queers. Who wants his queers to get married! And just getting damn sick and tired of hearing people say, well, no, that's what God intended. If God would have intended that, it would have been Adam and Steve. Or what's that joke? Huh? Well, maybe what the Cosmic Muffin is saying to these evangelical Christians is to sit down and shut your goddamn mouths because you don't know what you're talking about. Maybe? You think? You think? I mean, I mentioned earlier this year about the tornadoes smashing into the Bible Belt. The fires ripping through the most fundamentalist Christian area in the United States. Do you suppose there might be a message? Now, imagine, if you will, for one moment, supposing somebody stood up on the far left and said, you know, I really, really do think, you know, somebody in corporate America, I really, really do think the gay folk ought to have the same rights as not gay folk. I mean, that's a no-brainer, right? And supposing within a few days, a person very important to the speaker was plucked and taken to his ultimate reward or punishment. What do you think the Christian evangelicals would be saying? See? See? There you go. You see? God doesn't like that. See, you liberal left-wing atheist bastard, you? You see? You think? You think? So anyway, our deepest sympathies to the family of Donald Perry, the Vice President of Corporate Public Relations for Chick-fil-A, who died of a heart attack this morning. In Columbus, Georgia, the company confirmed the news in a statement to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. But I just wonder, I wonder if anybody in the Chick-fil-A corporate family who live in, they say they do, in trembling fear of a vengeful God. I fear God. Why? Well, he kills people. Really? You don't think it was just too many Chick-fil-A's or too many of those rancid French fries? Waffle fries? But do you think there might be discussion Sunday morning in church down in Columbus, Georgia, about the irony, although most evangelicals do not understand the word irony. But maybe one or two of them, maybe some of the younger ones will stand up and to testify in church, like certain evangelical churches are wont to do on a Sunday morning. And the testifying will be something along the lines, Preacher, is there any chance that Brother Perry was plucked because we have said such disrespectful things of our gay brothers and sisters, you think? the hour. I didn't watch it, of course, but I understand the opening ceremonies of the London Olympics included a salute to national health care in that country. Can you imagine it? Can you imagine something like that happening here? Oh, God. A salute to national health care. And I think Children's the Children's Hospital there. Oh, man. Hey, listen, about the Second Amendment thing that I hate to talk about. Let me just ask you something. The gun nuts are always dragging out the Second Amendment, you know, this corpse of an amendment that is just, it's so covered in blood and gore and death and destruction, dead children, dead old people, dead men and women, just violence. I mean, the Second Amendment is drenched in gore and blood. But aside from that, if the real intent, as these NRA gun nut right-wing freakoids would have us believe, if the real intent was to make sure that the citizenry was armed, then why doesn't the Second Amendment say this? The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So simple. Or were Jefferson and Madison and the rest of them who wrote this amendment, or were they just goddamn stupid? I realize they were genocidal slave owners, but were they that stupid? See, they put in a beginning, a well-regulated militia. And then there's that phrase that always trips everybody up, being necessary to the security of a free state. Why have any of that in? If the real intent was to arm everybody, then why not just say the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed? So, you gun nuts, you know, you're getting so tiresome. You really are. You know what you say, your logic is, well, it's not logic, but your idea of logic is just bat squeeze. I mean, it really is. Anyone ever ask you that question? If the intent was to keep an armed populace armed, why didn't it just say that? Why did they have to throw in that bit about a well-regulated militia, huh? Was that just to make you right-wing gun nuts pee your pants every now and again? Oh, well. Why ask the question? I'm not going to get an answer. I'll get somebody to send me an email and say they hope my mother's corpse rots in hell. You know, I mean, it doesn't make any difference. It really doesn't. A man in Juneau, Alaska, has filed a lawsuit trying to compel the state of Alaska to prove that President Obama is qualified to be on the ballot. He also claims, this psychopath, that Obama, by taking office, has committed a crime. The crime of trying to overthrow the U.S. government. Da-da! His name is Epperly. I guess he doesn't have a first name. They're just calling him Epperly. Oh, he's acting as his own attorney in court. The lawsuit is seeking the State Division of Elections to obtain a physical, verified copy of Obama's birth certificate. Epperly also questions U.S. Representative Nancy Pelosi's right to run for federal office. Are you ready for this? He claims that as a woman, Pelosi has no inherent right to be a U.S. citizen or to hold office. His lawsuit says, quote, there are no provisions in the Constitution of the United States that grants women political rights or of suffrage to hold any political office of the United States government, end quote. Jesus Christ. The lawsuit was filed against Obama, Pelosi, the state's election director, and Lieutenant Governor Mead Treadwell, a Republican who oversees Alaska elections. The state has filed a motion to dismiss with Assistant Alaska Attorney General Elizabeth Bacalar calling Epperly's statements incoherent, repugnant, and absurd. Oh, my God. Pelosi has no woman has a right to vote. Well, neither did the black people. Neither did the native people. Neither did nobody except you, right, Epperly? You're the only one. Watch out for those things flying around in your room. Do you see them, Epperly? Look, look, look. They got those little beady eyes. Oh, watch out. There goes one right now. Be careful, Epperly. So it's not just the lower 48. It's not just the lower 48, is it? All right. We'll take a break and come back. Stick around. We have miles to go before we sleep.
Hand me my gun. Let the bugle blow loud. I'm on my way with my head up proud. One objective I've got in view is to keep a hold of freedom for me and you. That's why I'm marching. Yes, I'm marching. Marching down freedom's road. Ain't nobody gonna stop me, nobody gonna keep me from marching down freedom's road. Ought to be plain as the nose on your face, there's room in this land for every race. Some folk think that freedom just ain't right, those are the very people I want to fight. That's why I'm marching, yes I'm marching. March.
I can't cool down, my situation goes down. Yeah, I can't cool down, my situation goes down. Yeah, I can't cool down, my situation goes down.
Oh, he just had another cup of coffee. Here's Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. This hour is being sponsored by Evan from Renton, Washington. He writes, Mike, I believe the capitalist swine pigs are on a general mission of genocide of the 99%, for lack of a better word. Examples, Second Amendment is cited as the right to bear arms as our protection so we can overthrow the government. Two, it's no on health care. Three, it's no on Social Security. Four, the constant warfare we engage in, which not only kills our own, but much more of our so-called enemies. Five, they jail us on a president's say-so with no right of habeas corpus. And six, the constant attack on unions to prevent people from making a living wage. Seems like a program of genocide to me. Evan from Renton, Washington. Thanks, Evan. In the Times this morning on the front page, I love this. They had a big article about with the Republican convention coming to Tampa soon, that all the churches in Tampa are gearing up for an influx of the religious right. They are going to keep their doors open 24/7, so to speak, so that all the delegates to the Republican delegates to the Republican convention in Tampa will have a place to pray and praise Jesus and praise God and get together for communion and fellowship. Wait a minute. Oh, no, that's not what it says at all. What it says is the strip clubs in Tampa are getting ready to cash in on the GOP convention. Oh, that's what it says. As Tampa gears up for the Republican National Convention, the biggest party it has ever held, Tampa, the city and its businesses are primping and polishing for the August arrival of tens of thousands of visitors. And Tampa's well-known strip clubs have joined the welcome wagon. Club owners here say they have schmoozed with their counterparts in former host cities like Denver, and they've been told that revenue pours in during Republican conventions, sometimes quadrupling the earnings from a Super Bowl week. Woo-hoo! Angelina Spencer, the executive director of the Association of Club Executives. That's a strip organization. which serves as a trade association for strip clubs, said in an informal survey of convention business in New York and Denver that it was determined that the Republicans go to these clubs and spend more money by far. Hands down, it was Republicans, she said. The average was $150 for Republicans, $50 for Democrats. Jesus Christ. Oh, they're not opening the churches 24/7? They're opening the strip clubs? Where do these guys go home and try to explain, you know, after about 4 or 5 days, try to explain to the wife why it just hurts awfully to pee all of a sudden? Ooh, ow, ow. Ooh, Alice. Ooh, aye. Is that your prostate? Prostate? I don't know. And then the guy goes to the doctor and they do a smear. Uh-oh. God. James Davis, a spokesman for the Republican National Convention, declined to discuss Tampa's prominent strip clubs.
Oh, no, we don't want to talk about that.
Davis said, we're expecting to have a great convention. We're focused completely on having a great convention. We know we're going to have a great convention because a great convention is what we're focused on. As far as the strip, what? Strip club? I have no idea. I don't know what you're talking about. Tampa, you see, cannot shed its national reputation, the New York Times says, as the strip club capital of the country. Strip club? That's according to someone named Joe Redner, the owner of the renowned Mons Venus. Oh, please. A man famous for fending off local attempts to close his club. The Tampa Bay Times has reported there are 20 strip clubs in Tampa, 30 in the Tampa Bay area. Miami has quite, but we're not talking about Miami, we're talking about Tampa. Oh, yeah, and the guy, what's his name? Redner. Who's Redner? Now, hold on a second, because this is pretty cool. Republican convention, strip clubs, Brother Donna Kikich, and oh yeah, okay. All right, Joe Redner, the owner of the renowned Mons Venus. I just said that. Redner has repeatedly brandished the First Amendment, has been arrested 150 or so times, and has run often for public office. He took on the city in 2000 when the city tried to cripple, so to speak, his club. Instead, it bolstered his reputation. A Tampa councilman back then, Bob Buckhorn, who is now Tampa's mayor, backed an ordinance to ban lap dances by keeping customers 6 feet away from dancers. The rule intended to curb prostitution and drugs passed, but it's not enforced. The lap dance capital of the world. You know, I've never been able to figure that out. Well, somebody send me an email. Tell me why any man would go to a strip club and watch naked dancers. I'm serious. What's the deal? I've never been able to figure that one out. I had a good friend here in Atlanta back in the day. When I was in the music business, and he was a drummer for a band that I managed, and he married a woman who was a dancer in a strip club. And this is back in the day in Atlanta where, nude strip clubs, or I don't know why they call them strip clubs, it's not a strip club, it's just nude dancing. And or I don't even know if it's dancing, it's nude something. But, and my friend's name, I'll leave that out. My friend said, Elizabeth got a job working at a strip club. Oh, well, that's interesting. Oh, God, what am I going to do? What do you mean, what are you going to do? You didn't know she was going to get a job at a strip club? Well, so what this poor guy would do, except on the nights when he had a gig to play, but he would go down to the strip club every night and sit back in the shadows and watch to make sure that, you know, his wife just stayed on the stage. This is before lap dances, by the way. But that's another thing I don't understand. Oh, and by the way, he eventually wound up, he had a nervous breakdown. And as far as I know, he's still institutionalized, and this is 25 years ago. But I don't know, what is it about lap dances? What is it about lap dances? I don't know. There's something about, you know, a man sitting there fully clothed, holding on to the sides of a chair or something, and this great big bruiser standing nearby. And if he touches this squirming mass of flesh that is sliding up and down him, if he touches her, the bruisers come over and break his elbows or something. Is that what it is that the Republicans like so much? The fact that bruiser may come over and break their elbows? Is that what it is? I don't know. I can't get my mind around this. But anyway, Tampa, the naked dancer club capital of the world, is just rubbing its hands together and licking its lips and getting ready for this August convocation of Republicans. Because, yes, they go to a convention like this. They're away from home, away from mom and the kids, away from the church, away from the preacher. What do you think they're going to do? What do you think they're going to do? Go to prayers? Go to prayer meetings? go to church fellowship? We over here at the Tampa Baptist Men's Fellowship Group would like to invite all the conventioners, the men anyway, to come on over and we'll praise God. Right. Okay. Yeah, there's a stampede for that meeting, right? Oh, I couldn't believe it. But there it is on the front page of New York Times. I mean, the whole world is collapsing. Everything's going to hell. And they have that article. Well, that's because they're a biased left-wing communist newspaper. That's why. Oh, yeah. Erratic weather across the globe is fueling the impending food crisis. All right. Let's talk about that here in a moment when we come back. I just could not get over that. First of all, the guy from Chick-fil-A who was taken to his final reward in the Tampa strip clubs. I don't know. There's something for Republicans, the church going, the ones that will take their Bibles with them to the convention and then leave them in the hotel room while they go out to party.
Ten
before the hour. This hour has been sponsored by Evan from Renton, Washington, who says he believes that the capitalist swine pigs are on a general mission of genocide for the 99% of us, for lack of a better word. He gives examples. First, the Second Amendment is cited as the right to bear arms as our protection so we can overthrow the government. He also cites the attitude of no on health care, no on Social Security, the constant warfare we engage in, which not only kills our own, but much more of our so-called enemies. Also, we can be jailed without due process now. And the constant attack on unions to prevent people from making a living wage. Evan sums it up by saying, seems like a program of genocide to me. Thank you, Evan. I appreciate your sponsorship and your well-thought-out observation there, pal. strip clubs. In addition to the ongoing drought in the United States, this is from Common Dream staff, experts warn that the potential for a worldwide food crisis is heightened by this extreme and erratic weather across the globe. It sure did happen quick, didn't it? Huh? It seems like just the other day we were being warned about this sort of thing coming, and here it is. A report in The Guardian of the UK cites recent flooding in Russia, an encroaching drought in South America, heavy rains in the UK. And it all adds up to a global agricultural nightmare. The report says that the deteriorating conditions are leading more and more analysts to draw parallels to events that led up to the 2008 global food crisis. Quote, when high food prices sparked a wave of riots in 30 countries across the world, from Haiti to Bangladesh. See, we Americans don't remember that. Most of us didn't even know it happened. Food riots? What's that goddamn liberal Malloy talking about now? Food riots? Well, I've never had any food riot. I'm fine. I can go to Chick-fil-A anytime I want to. Food riot. Nick Higgins, a commodity analyst at Rabobank. No, I don't know either. Is quoted as saying, quote, food riots are a real risk at this point. Wheat prices aren't up at the level they got to in 2008, but they're still very high, and that will have an effect on those who are least able to pay higher prices for food, end quote. And Ruth Kelly, Oxfam's food policy advisor, says that popular fury in less developed nations stems from the fact that people in poorer nations spend a much larger percentage of their income on food than those in wealthier nations. What do we spend in this country? About 11%, 8%, 11%? It's quite low. It's going to go up, though. Ruth Kelly also said, quote, people are already in debt from previous spikes and suffering the consequences. When the first food crisis hit, people were forced to sell off their assets, their cattle, their jewelry, and take on debt to make ends meet. After multiple crises, people run out of savings, and that can be quite disastrous, end quote. And, of course, she's talking about people in those so-called less developed nations. Well, we don't have anything to worry about here. Right? I mean, that global warming crap's going to happen to somebody else. We got lots of food. Look here. Look at all this food we got. Chris Hedges had a column out called The Careerists the other day. One paragraph regarding climate change. Chris Hedges writes, quote, here you have the explanation of why our ruling elites do nothing about climate change, refuse to respond rationally to economic meltdown, and are incapable of coping with the collapse of globalization and empire. These are circumstances that interfere with the very viability and sustainability of the system. And bureaucrats know only how to serve the system. They know only the managerial skills they ingested at West Point or Harvard Business School. They cannot think on their own. They cannot challenge assumptions or structures. They cannot intellectually or emotionally recognize that the system might implode. And so they do what Napoleon warned was the worst mistake a general would make. Paint an imaginary picture of a situation and accept it as real. But we blithely ignore reality along with them. The mania for a happy ending blinds us. We do not want to believe what we see. It is too depressing. So we all retreat into collective self-delusion. Remember we were talking about the other night? We live inside the envelope of a huge lie. Any of you folks want to break out of it with me? I mean, I'm ready to go anytime. Terrible. Terrible, terrible. Well, we are going to have some fun tonight. What's this? Storms threaten ozone layer over U.S. Ah! Oh, here's one. Global warming and the circus train. Mike in Oregon City sent that to me. Okay, Mike wrote this, so I'll share it with you when we come back. Oh, and a Texas judge rules that the sky belongs to everyone. What? Yeah. Is this the shot heard around the world for the fight against climate change? We'll find out when we come back from this break. All right? Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. It's joint stress. The bottom of the hour, we'll do podcast trivia where you can win a one-year subscription to Malloy Show podcast downloads, commercial free. All you have to do is get the right answer to our podcast trivia question. Okay, global warming and the circus train. This is from Mike in Oregon City. Pow! He writes, Mike, I liken the global warming issue to being trapped in the caboose of the world's worst circus train. The evil clowns have commandeered the locomotive and are hell-bent on crashing into the station with as much speed as possible. All the suggestive screams and insults only seem to make the clowns laugh harder as they add more throttle. You know, as an aside, I really hate circus clowns. Oh my God. Back to Mike. We're going to witness climate change, and we will starve and cook because of it. If the fish don't die from massive harvesting, radiation and pollution will finish them off. Our crops will wither because even our forefathers knew enough to maintain diversity in their plantings. No fool puts the exact same plant everywhere. Monsanto corn may be bug-proof, but it isn't drought-proof. Besides, we use corn to feed cows, which we then feed to people, and they get fat, and then their hearts explode. Or we make fuel out of it, which in turn adds CO2 to the air, blah, 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 blah. Meanwhile, the clowns have figured out the last trick to gaining even more speed, and the train moves even faster toward the station. I could continue this diatribe forever, Mike, but I won't. Climate change is going to happen, and we cannot and will not stop it. Your grandchildren will look back at this generation with the same disgust that we judged the Nazis, Stalin, and Mao. But it will not change a bloody thing. The very ideals that fascism endorsed are right now embedded in our culture, and the clowns love it. Privatize the profits, socialize the risk, transfer the power, the land, hell, even the damn water. The morons who caused it all and laugh all the way to the bank. Obama may be a nice man, but he leads an absolute corrupt corporate state that is eating his own young right before his eyes. Well, I'm sure he would do something about it if only he had those comfortable shoes. He won't, nor will he even attempt to. In a country of 300 million, the best choice for leadership is between someone less progressive than Nixon or a man who wears magic underoos and appears to need better software. You keep asking what it will take before people get off their asses and do something. It will take blood in the streets. It will take them looking at their dead or dying child and associating it with these vultures and their horrible greed. It will take flooded cities, disease, starvation, and mayhem. And even then, they will most likely not go after the right traitors. You and I are not in control, Mike. The clowns are. And they own it, lock, stock, and barrel. They're going to crash this train, and all of us get to participate in the cleanup. And there's absolutely nothing you or I can do to stop it. There was a point in time on the Titanic when it was clear to all souls aboard that not everybody was going to be alive in the morning. As a father who has buried both his kids, take my advice and get to know them better now. The simple fact that you have enough humanity to do that as compared to the vapid neocon murderers means you have evolved past the greed heads. Hopefully your offspring will help populate the new hot earth we will leave them. Mike in Oregon City. P.S. I hate clowns and don't think they should be allowed in the swamps of the future. Wow, there's a lot in your email there, Mike. Thank you, I think. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for writing. This other story was in the Times today. Really, kind of fascinated me. The strong summer thunderstorms that we've all, in most of the country, we've been experiencing. We here in Atlanta, just about every afternoon now, after the mid 90s, upper 90s temperatures in the Atlanta area, it's amazing to look into the sky. We are getting and have been getting all summer since back in April. A tropical sky, the tropical clouds. We spend a little time in the tropics, and this looks exactly like what you would see over Puerto Rico or southern Mexico. Those huge, kind of fluffy white clouds that have definition to them, and the bottoms are kind of grayish blue. Tropical sky all over Atlanta. And these strong summer thunderstorms that most of the country have been getting, they pump water high into the upper atmosphere, and that poses a threat to the protective ozone layer. Now, there's a difference. Surface ozone is going to kill you, but unless there's ozone in the upper layers of the atmosphere, you're going to die, too. I mean, there's no way out of this, really. But anyway, researchers said yesterday that these thunderstorms that are pumping water into the upper atmosphere is posing a major threat. This is another unexpected consequence of planetary warming, heating up. I mean, it just goes on and on. This is why the climatologists and the scientists, and of course the right-wingers love this, the climatologists and scientists keep saying, well, we're not exactly sure. Well, we're trying to build the models. Well, we think, well, it may be, you know, that's what science does. What religion does is says, your ass is going to hell. See, there's a difference there. And the right-wingers just seize on the hesitation to make definitive statements that the scientists, the hesitation that scientists employ because they're scientists. I mean, but right-wingers, Christian evangelicals, Republicans, they don't understand that. They're used to being told exactly what is. It's in the Bible. Or it comes out of Rush Limbaugh's ass. So therefore it has to be true. Or it's the ravings of this Glenn Beck freak. But see, science isn't that way. Science will make a statement and then immediately challenge it. But I digress. So science is now making this link, and it's a scary one, between climate change and ozone loss over populated areas. The study was published yesterday in the journal Science, and Harvard University scientists reported that some storms send water vapor miles into the stratosphere. And that part of the little thin envelope around this planet is usually drier than a desert. And the research showed how such events could rapidly set off ozone-destroying reactions with chemicals that remain in the atmosphere from CFCs. Remember those refrigerant gases that are now banned? But, you know, just because we ban something, that doesn't make those chemicals, those almost impossible to degrade chemicals, go, hey, they banned us. Oh, okay. Well, let's revert to inert everything. And I'll tell you what, you go back to carbon, you go back to oxygen, you go back to nitrogen, and let's just follow the earth and we'll make the corn grow. Oh, I can't do that anymore because it's genetically modified. Okay. See, it doesn't work that way. The risk of ozone damage also, scientists said, could increase if global warming leads to more such storms. Well, yeah, but that's part of it. This is what the climatologists, this is what the scientists have been saying for three decades. As global warming progresses, because of what we're dumping into the atmosphere, this little thin membrane almost of blue around our planet, eventually, it's going to start to degrade, and this is going to happen, and that's going to happen. We've been told about this for 30, 40 years. And now it's happening.
And these lost people calling, look away, look away, look away.
Trivia, which will happen after the next break. Phone number here is 877-996-2556. So all you have to do is get the right answer to our podcast trivia question, and you win. So these massive, you've heard them, and I've heard them referred to as supercells. Well, they're even bigger than that. These huge storms that pump water way up into the upper stratosphere. It has a real nasty effect on the upper level ozone that is so necessary to protect us all from radiation poisoning. James Anderson, an atmospheric scientist and the lead author of this study that was released yesterday, said that, quote, it's the union between ozone loss and climate change that is really at the heart of this, end quote. Now, he's a PhD, he said for years, he and other atmospheric scientists were careful to keep the two concepts separate, ozone loss and climate change. Can't mix them. Two different elements of scientific research. But he says now they're intimately connected. Uh-oh. Ozone, of course, helps shield people and animals and crops from damaging ultraviolet rays from the sun. And the scientists would tell you that much of their concern about the ozone layer has focused on Antarctica, where a seasonal hole or thinning has been seen for about two decades. It seems longer than that. I thought they were talking about the ozone hole over the Antarctic 30 years ago, 35 years ago. Oh, well. And, of course, the Arctic, where a hole was observed last year. But those regions have almost no population, so who cares, right? Just a bunch of polar bears or seals or, you know, who cares? But a thinning of the ozone layer over the U.S. during summers could mean an increase in ultraviolet exposure for millions of people and a coincidental rise in the incidence of skin cancer. And as the Times puts it, these findings were based on sound science as opposed to what? Quack science? I guess so. Sound science. Dr. Anderson and the other experts agreed. Sound science. But they said much more research is needed, including direct measurements in the stratosphere and areas where water vapor was present after storms. Dr. Anderson said, quote, "This problem now is of deep concern to me. I never would have suspected this," end quote. Some of this water vapor, according to the Times, has been chugged up as high as 12 miles through a process called convective injection. Convective injection. And while climate scientists say one effect of global warming is an increase in the intensity and frequency of storms, it's not yet clear whether the number of such injection events will rise. And see, this is what the morons in our species seize on. Well, they don't have any proof. Not understanding the scientific method. The scientific method is it starts with observation and then challenge and then experimentation and then conclusions that are open to observation and challenge and experimentation and conclusions, which are then open to observation and challenge. But that's how science works. That's what it's supposed to be. And that's what everybody in this country in policy-making positions ignores. And they ignore it because they're afraid of the right-wing crazies in this country who just say, no. It's not the Bible. And besides that, it'll interfere with this glorious American capitalist machine that just keeps humming along. There is no global warming. Nonsense. Every once in a while, as a matter of fact, there's a global cooling going on. Have you heard that argument? There's global cooling going on? Why, sure. I mean, every 9 months or so, it snows in certain parts of the United States. There's your proof. Another atmospheric scientist who happens to be the president of the National Academy of Sciences, who reviewed the study for Science, the journal, called for more research. He said, one of the really solid parts of this paper is that they've taken the chemistry that we know from other atmospheric experiments and lab experiments and put that in the picture. The big thing to do is to field work now, measure moisture amounts and whether there is any impact around it. And Dr. Cicerone, I guess that's how you pronounce his name, he said the connection with future climate is the most important issue. Oh, no, there they go again. You know, these pointy-headed liberals and these intellectuals trying to tell us something that's not in the Bible. Oh, for Christ's sake. I mean, come on, it doesn't matter. Besides, we're going to hear. And then we don't know anything. Subscription to Molloy Show podcasts to commercial free. in your email or someplace every morning. All you have to do is answer a podcast trivia question correctly. It's multiple choice, so not so hard. All right, Tony is in Addison, New York. Hi, Tony.
Hey, Michael, you sang happy birthday to me last February.
I did? Oh, on the cruise?
Yes, you did. My husband talked you into it. How much do he have to pay you? I never asked him.
Oh, no. I remember. Oh, my God. How are you?
I'm good. Had a little accident in October. Fell down, broke a wrist, couple of ribs.
Oh, no.
Back. What the hell, right? We all get older.
That's right. We do. Just stop falling down. All right. Are you ready, Tony,
to pay? Stop falling down. Yes, I am.
You're
ready to play, Mike.
Okay. Here we go. This past week, the president of Chick-fil-A made a comment that has caused quite a bit of controversy. Did he say, A, God has defined marriage and it can only be between a man and a woman? B, the chicken in his sandwiches is really sea urchin? C, he has a secret urge to serve his waffle fries in the nude? Or D, the male choir director at his church keeps winking at him?
God, you know, given those choices, I have to go with A.
A. You're absolutely right!
Yay!
All right, Tony.
I just heard you mention that today on, a couple of days ago, podcast. I'm like, what's he talking about Chick-fil-A?
Yeah, right. It's
I missed it, but I'm sorry. You know, you got to come up with better third and fourth answers there, Mike, you know?
Well, we try to keep it and make it as difficult as we can, Tony. That's, you know. All right, Tony, thank you. Now,
okay,
hold on. Don't go away. Kathy will take the pertinent information.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Hey, listen, nice to talk to you again. I hope everything's good with you guys.
Everything as good as it can be. Thanks, Tony.
We missed you. We had a grand old time on that cruise.
That was fun.
Thank you.
Let's hope that.
Hey, and just remember that the Republicans that make your ears bleed.
That's very true. Let's hope that whoever puts those cruises together, Tony, will do another one. Now, don't hang up. Kathy will get the information from you momentarily. See how easy that was? Huh? Isn't that easy? Podcast trivia? Now, next Friday when we do it, you got to call in, and you'll probably win one. All right, we are going to leave the lines open now. If you have a comment or anything you'd like to share with this vast and erudite audience, now's the time to call in. 877-996-2556 is the number. This Texas judge rules atmosphere. And the air is a public trust. That's a headline in the Boston Globe. And this was picked up and published by On the Commons. David Morris is writing about it. He's vice president and director of the New Rules Project at the Institute for Local Self-Reliance, which is based in Minneapolis. And it focuses on local economic and social development. But anyway, David writes, as we continue to suffer from one of the most extended heat waves in U.S. history, and major crops have withered and fires raged, we need all the tiny little breakthroughs we can get. And this judge, it appears, may have provided one. The public trust doctrine is a legal principle derived from English common law, David writes. Traditionally, it is applied to water resources. The waters of the state are deemed a public resource owned by and available to all citizens equally for the purpose of navigation, fishing, recreation, and other uses. The owner cannot use that resource in a way that interferes with the public's use and interest. The public trustee, usually the state, must act to maintain and enhance the trust's resources for the benefit of future generations. Gosh, that's certainly not a Republican idea, is it? Huh? And David writes, back in 2001, Peter Barnes, the co-founder of Working Assets, now Credo, and On the Commons, as well as one of the most creative environmentalists around, proposed the atmosphere be treated as a public trust. And he wrote about this in his book, Who Owns the Sky? Our Common Assets and the Future of Capitalism. And in 2007, in a law review article, University of Oregon professor Mary Christina Wood elaborated on similar idea of a nature's trust. She wrote, quote, with every trust, there is a core duty of protection. The trustee must defend the trust against injury. Where it has been damaged, the trustee must restore the property in the trust, end quote. Now, she noted that the idea itself is not new. In 1892, quote from her book, when private enterprise threatened the shoreline of Lake Michigan in 1892, the Supreme Court said it would not be listened to that the control and management of Lake Michigan, a subject of concern to the whole people of the state, should be placed elsewhere than in the state itself. Now, you can practically hear those same justices saying today that it would not be listened to that government would let our atmosphere be dangerously warmed in the name of individual private property rights. I can't hear that. As a matter of fact, with all due respect, Professor, I would hear just the opposite from this Supreme Court. Anyway, in Texas, after a petition to the Texas Commission of Environmental Quality to institute proceedings to reduce greenhouse gases was dismissed, of course it was, the Texas Environmental Law Center sued on behalf of a group of children and young adults. The center asserted that the state of Texas has a duty to reduce emissions as the common law trustee of a public trust, and therefore responsible for the air and the atmosphere. The lawsuit argued this, quote, the atmosphere, including the air, is one of the most crucial assets of our public trust. Global climate change threatens to dry up most of these waters, turning them from gorgeous, life-giving springs into dangerous, flash-flooding drainages where when the rare heavy rains do come, the outdoors will be inhospitable and the children will have few places to recreate in nature as the climate changes. They will be living in a world of drought, water shortages and restrictions, and desertification, end quote. That's the lawsuit saying that. So the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality argued that the public trust doctrine applies only to water. The judge of the Travis County District Court disagreed. Her letter decision issued on July 12th states the following, quote, the doctrine includes all natural resources of the state. The court went further to argue that the public trust doctrine, quote, is not simply a common law doctrine, but is incorporated into the Texas Constitution, which, one, protects the conservation and development of all the resources of the state, and two, declares conservation of those resources public rights and duties, and three, directs the legislature to pass appropriate laws to protect those resources. Well, imagine that. The immediate impact of the case is limited, noting that a number of climate change cases were wending their way up the judicial ladder. The judge upheld the decision not to exercise its authority, the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality. They're the ones who said, nah, we're not going to. But a few days after Judge Triana's ruling, Judge Sarah Singleton of the New Mexico District Court denied the state's motion to dismiss a similar case in New Mexico. That will now move forward. The Texas court, David Morris concludes, is the first to support the possibility that the public trust doctrine may justify the creation of an atmospheric trust. One Houston law firm advised its clients the decision, quote, may represent a shot heard round the world in climate change litigation. Given the stakes involved in such cases, clients should monitor these suits carefully and perhaps participate as amicus curiae to support the state's attorney's arguments. File those friend of the court briefs to tell why you think that the public trust is baloney. David Morris concludes by saying, what a delicious irony if future generations could look back to Texas as the catalyst that ultimately afforded legal protection to the sky. Well, David Morris, well put, very interesting, but don't forget where you live and I live and where Texas lives. We live in a nation of idiots, morons. We live in a nation that is absorbed by and absorbed with lies, distortions, untruths, half-truths, right-wing propaganda, deceit, fraud. Have I left anything out?
Because each time you listen to right-wing radio, God kills a kitten.
Aww. Aww. 10 before the hour, coming up next hour, one of the things we're going to mention is the... I'm going to go back to the Fukushima radiation situation. There are some new reports out now about expected radiation on the U.S. West Coast as a result. You know, that's still ongoing. You do know that, right? And also, what the former chairperson of the Florida Republican Party has to say about not just the Republican Party in Florida, but also the attempt to deny people the right to vote. This is coming from the chairperson, the chairman of the Florida Republican Party, former chairman. We'll get to that when we come back. Kevin is in Colorado Springs. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, good evening, Mike.
Hey.
Hey, you ask what would cause someone to go to a strip club.
Yeah.
And years ago, I lived in the Tampa Bay area, and I had occasion to visit Mr. Ridner's strip club. And I would say lust would be the obvious answer, but also loneliness and really those are the two big things, I think. I was going through a period in my life where I had gone through a divorce and a lot of things were hitting me,
mm-hmm.
and thus I began to withdraw from friends and family and such. And so, yeah, I went, and I really am not ashamed about it. The one thing I'll say about Joe Ridner is he always has been a champion of the First Amendment, or not the First Amendment, the right of free speech.
Oh, yeah, that's the First Amendment.
Yeah. Thank you.
You talk about the guy who owns the...
Mons Venus.
Mons Venus.
Yes. And yeah, I tell you, I for privacy things, I used to be an EMT. So I can't go into where it was or anything, but I had occasion to come up upon Mr. Ridner outside of that setting. He was one of the most friendly and polite people I've met in an emergency situation. I'll just put it that way. And I didn't really get a chance to talk to him, but he had a cable show on the local Tampa television station. And I always appreciated him and his attorney. The attorney's name was Luke LaRoe, and they always stood up for the First Amendment. And he always has fought with Tampa over his strip clubs. And as far as I'm concerned, who cares? If you'd stop giving him publicity, his strip clubs would probably go away. But you keep giving him publicity. So you know, when the Republicans go down there this year for the convention, you know, that's going to be what they're going to go to, because, like, you know, they are lonely and lustful people. Lustful because they repress their sexuality, and lonely because, at least some of them, because nothing in their life matters more than making money.
Right. Well, so, you know, and I appreciate your story, Kevin. I really do. I just have a problem with I have a problem with a system that so cavalierly can exploit women. And I know I've talked to a couple, honest to God, a couple of new dancers. One who insisted she would, this is her way of making money to put her, keep her kid in private school and so on and so forth. But I just have a problem with it. I appreciate the nude human form as much as anybody, but so it's not an issue of nudity. It's an issue, for me anyway, that the men, and they're mostly men, who go to these strip clubs are not sitting there appreciating the nude female form. What they're doing is shrieking, if they're doing anything. They're anticipating something that's not going to happen. And they are objectifying the women who are participating in their own objectification, if you will. But I don't know. It just seems like a scam to me. It seems not right. I don't know how else to put it. It just seems not right that women would, I guess the argument is, at least for the people who own the strip clubs, well, nobody forces them to come and perform like this. Well, that's not exactly true. A lot of people are, because of their economic situation, their educational situation. They are, if not forced, that becomes the only way out of the trap. Is that being forced? I don't know. To me, it is. But it's just something I have a problem with. Not that I would disrespect the women who, for whatever reason, wind up on a strip club stage or doing these horrific lap dances. I mean, it's just, I don't know. There's something about it that's real off-putting to me. Maybe it's the way it's handled, the way it's presented. And as far as being an issue of free speech, really? I mean, sure. When the first nude club opened here in Atlanta about 30 years ago, the guy who opened it insisted it was a matter of free speech. Of course, the girls didn't say anything, you know. I'm being too literal, right? Hey, thanks, Kevin. I appreciate you checking in. But as far as a free speech issue, yeah, okay. I thought it would be more like a Second Amendment issue, wouldn't you? All right, stick around. We'll be back. Open line here. The number's 877-996-2556. I'm Mike Malloy. It is 7 past the hour. This hour is being sponsored by Clark Morgan. Thanks, Clark. His message, the Mike Malloy Show, there's nothing like it on the radio. Thanks, Mike and Kathy. Wasn't Clark a sponsor the other night, too, wasn't he? Thanks, Clark. Very kind of you. A couple of emails here about the strip club, then we'll move on. Michael and Roswell writes, the thing about Tampa and the convention is that this is the party of family values that's drooling at the prospect of getting a chance to behave like drunken teenagers on their first trip away from home. The strip club owners know this better than anyone. Yeah, it's you know, once again, it's a hypocrisy. That's all. It's just the damn hypocrisy that drives me crazy. And from Bruce, why go to a strip club? Eye candy. It's okay to look for as long as you want, as lustfully as you want to, and it's encouraged. Can't do that in real life. Mike, almost all of us are forced to prostitute ourselves for money. If you work in a burger joint for $6 an hour, aren't you prostituting yourself for the money? Doing something you don't want to do because you need the bucks? Bruce. Yeah, I guess in the broader sense that would be true. That would be true. But, you know, when you are flipping burgers, the burgers are being lusted after, not you, the cook. I don't know. You know, it's just any kind of sex work, whether it's direct or indirect. You know, being a prostitute is direct sexual work. Being a stripper in a club, for the most part, is indirect. Either way, it's to me, it represents somehow, and I'm not sure anymore, exploitation of women. Do I feel that way about the men strip? What are they called? The Chippendales? Is that what they're called? Are they still around? I don't know. Why am I asking you? They're all old now. They don't have new Chippendales, young Chippendales. Where in the hell did that name come from? Chippendales. Ah! Are they being exploited? No. They're not. Because we live in a society where males have a much broader base of choice. Huh? It's getting too complicated. Okay. Let me see. Hold on just a second. Yeah, there's an article in, it's from RT.com. Tim in L.A. sent it to me. It's been over a year since natural disaster ravaged nuclear plant Fukushima, interrupted the lives of millions of Japanese. Scientists now fear, though, that contaminated water is on course to America and it could be more toxic than thought. Researchers have released the findings of an intense study into the aftermath of last year's Fukushima nuclear disaster and warned that the United States isn't exactly spared just yet. In fact, scientists now fear that incredibly contaminated ocean water could be reaching the west coast of the U.S. in a matter of 5 years. And the toxicity of those waves could eventually be worse than what was seen in Japan. A team of scientists led by, I'm not even going to try to say his name, of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Pacific Marine Environmental Laboratory have published the findings of an experiment recently conducted to measure the impact of last year's nuclear disaster. And the results are eye-opening, to say the least. By simulating the spreading of contaminated ocean waters and seeing how currents could carry them across the Pacific from Japan to the U.S., scientists believe that the worst might be still on the way. The paper itself reads, quote, after 10 years, the concentrations become nearly homogeneous over the whole Pacific, with higher values in the east, extending along the North American coast, with the maximum off Baja California. The magnitude of additional peak radioactivity, now it gets too technical to do on the air. Besides, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about here with some of these numbers. But anyway, the point being that a study now released says that using the models that they're working with, there's a good chance that radioactive ocean water, because of what is it, the Japanese current that that swirls down the West Coast. Whew. Scary stuff. You know, where do you stop, Mike? Where is there nothing to talk about that's just a hoot and a holler? The story about the Republicans in Florida might be that story in a minute. Joe is driving in Kentucky listening on Sirius. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Mike.
Hey.
How's it going?
It's moving right along.
Good deal. So, I got a Georgia story for you real quick. It was, I lived in Chicago for 46 years. I moved to Phoenix to help an elderly father. He passed away on the way out there. The Phoenix took a dump, and then we moved to Georgia to help my wife's sister, whose husband had just died of cancer. So I'm out there. I'm a truck driver. I got 26 years, 1.7 million miles, no accidents, no tickets. I couldn't get a job to save my life.
Mm.
I go apply, and they would just not do anything. So then what I started doing is I would call. I'd say, hey, are y'all hiring? They'd say no. I'd wait 5 minutes, call back, say, how y'all doing? Y'all doing any hiring? They'd say, sure, you come on down, get you an application. I'd say, I'll be down in a couple minutes. Gotta take your lady to the doctor. I'll be right down. Then I'd get there, and I'd forget because I'm a Northern Yankee. So the one time I remember...
Yeah.
To do it. He took my license, took my social security card, made a copy, came back 5 seconds later. He literally took the clipboard out of my hand and told me that he's not hiring. I ended up getting a job through a temp service, being like a jockey truck, moving containers in and out of the door. But the only reason I got that job, because a guy had transferred down from New Jersey.
Now, you're not suggesting, Joe, that people who do hiring in Georgia are bigoted against Northerners, are you?
Oh, big time. I'm sure you know they're between a Yankee and a damn Yankee, right? The damn Yankees.
Well, if y'all wouldn't have come down here with your war against us back a few years back with your war of Northern aggression, I mean, maybe it wouldn't be that way now, but you got a lot of nerve coming down here looking for work taken away from our people.
I'm telling you, that's it was just, you know, it was unreal. I mean, I even went to church and everything because they always ask you, what church do you worship at?
That's the first. That's the first thing they ask you. The second thing is, where is your mom and them from?
Exactly. Exactly. But, yeah, it was, I mean, we ended up getting out of there. I moved back to, well, we went to Ohio because there were jobs up here. So, I mean, but it was just. And then we lived in a trailer with no air because I couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
I made $11 an hour. It was just a nightmare.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, things are going okay now, right, Joe?
Yes, sir.
All right.
And it's because of you, Mike. I really appreciate all you do, and I listen to you every night. And I actually bid my routes so that I can listen to your show at night.
Oh, my God. Well, thanks, Joe. I appreciate the fact that you do that. Thank you so much, okay?
Okay, you guys, take it easy and keep it lit.
You too. You too. Thanks, Joe. Yeah, I learned to talk like a Southerner in order not to get shot way back in the day. Because I had that Ohio twang. People say, where are you from, boy? I'd say, Savannah.
station, I do not like them in my nation. It's more Mike Malloy.
Anyone past the hour, coming up after the next break, Mike Malloy, Radio Gumshoe, the latest episode written and produced by Bob Alexander. Stick around for that, okay? Okay, very quickly here, there is a criminal trial going on. Jim Greer is a former chair of the Republican Party of Florida, and he is currently on trial for allegedly scheming to direct $100,000 from the Republican Party of Florida's treasury into a shell company and eventually into his own pockets, right? That's Florida. That's Republicans. Anyway, in a deposition in the release to the public from his ongoing criminal trial, Greer claims the party actively tried to find ways to get African Americans not to vote. He claims the party also squashed efforts at minority outreach as they were not good for the Republican Party of Florida. Greer also made other shocking admissions, including that former Governor Charlie Crist started to view the rest of the party as crazy. In the deposition taken in May, Greer claims that party officials actively talked about voter suppression in what sounds like a political scheme taken directly out of 30 Rock. This is in the Miami New Times, by the way. He said in the deposition, quote, "I was upset because the political consultants and staff were talking about voter suppression and keeping blacks from voting. It had been one of those days." End quote. Greer also claimed the Republican officials didn't believe in minority outreach programs. Greer shed light on what was going on in the Republican Party of Florida during the emergence of the Tea Party. He said, quote, "The Tea Party came into existence. There was a feeling within the party that the Tea Party was just a bunch of wackadoos." Charlie Crist apparently had become increasingly frustrated with the direction of his own party. Greer urged Chris to make better use of party resources while he was running for Senate and still a Republican. And Greer said, "He told me to F the party. They're a bunch of crazies, and they did nothing to win elections." There's more. I mean, it just goes on and on. And you know, so when people talk about the Republican Party, you know, Brad Friedman's been talking about this how long? There's no such thing as voter fraud. There is only voter suppression. It's voter suppression. And only the Republicans have the balls to do this. They know they can't win elections. In 90% of the cases, they can't win unless it's, like I said the other night, unless it's in a district where the voters are as insane as the candidate, like Michelle Bachmann, for example. But Republicans can't win national elections. They cannot. America wants them kicked out of the country. That's why they rigged the voting machines. That's why they suppress votes. That's why they insist on photo IDs. They do every single goddamn trick they can come up with because Republicans know they're scum. They know America doesn't want them. They know America is choking to death on these filthy cockroaches. So in order to win their elections, they cheat, they lie, they suppress votes, they do anything they can. They try to intimidate voters by standing around and, "Well, I'm a poll watcher." No, you're not. You're a goddamn Klansman. Get out of my face. I'd love to have one of these people come up to me and say, "Let me see your ID." They'd see my ID. They certainly would. And you know what kind of an ID they would see, right? There's so much here. It's in it's in the Tampa Bay Times. Greer, he's the former head of the Republican Party of Florida. He said Republican Party officials now in Florida are liars, right-wing crazies. It's a 630-page deposition released by state prosecutors on Wednesday. And the testimony opens a window into the level of animosity that exists in between Greer and the party he once ran. Greer said, quote, the party was in turmoil as officials wanted to get rid of him and former Governor Charlie Crist because they disagreed with some of Crist's decisions, including the appointment of an African-American judge to the Florida Supreme Court. The Republicans in Florida didn't like Crist's endorsement of John McCain for president in 2008. And they didn't like the fact that Charlie Crist gave President Barack Obama a hug in 2009. Greer said, quote, my phone lit up with people wanting me to censure the governor. The Tea Party came into existence. There was a feeling within the party the Tea Party is a bunch of crazy wackadoos. It just goes on. So Greer decides, you know, what's he going to do? Well, he's going to steal. So now he's on trial. He's giving depositions. You ought to read this. It's Tampa Bay Times. Just get it online and read it. It's just a goddamn horror story. But these are Republicans. These are the swine. These are the cockroaches that are just hell-bent on destroying the country. These are the scum behind Mitt Romney and every single Republican in America. I'm telling you, they are, I don't know. We need to have huge cans of raids to spray over these cockroaches.
And he lies. He can lie any time. He can lie any place. He crosses his fingers and keeps a straight face. He lies and he lies and he lies. Too many believe him. They're bleating like sheep. Accomplices now in the liar's deceit. He lies and he lies and he lies. Lies, lies, lies.
Before the hour, as promised, we gave you the sneak preview last night, episode 7 of the return of Mike Malloy Radio Gumshoe, written and produced by Bob Alexander.
From Hollywood, the Jimmy Durante Show.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Now, have you heard the news?
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Beyond the barriers of space and time, through a million would-be years on 1,000 maybe worlds. Yes, radio listeners, it's time once again to join truth seekers from around the globe who anxiously await the return of Mike Malloy, Radio Gumshoe.
Mysterious Mr. Moody, who not only repaired their AE-35 unit, but also filled them in on the strange goings-on in the little town of Springfield. Powerful antidepressants have been dumped into the town's water supply to keep the residents docile while they produce sitcoms for an unsuspected nation. Put on the coffee pot, kiddies, because it's time for tonight's thrilling episode, Chapter 6, Speeding Doom.
After a couple of days of living in Springfield and drinking the water, you'll fit right in. You might even start to like Ricky Nelson's music. God help you.
This is one big reality show. We've got to get out of here.
Who runs this town?
Well, who do you want to know about first? The Republicans or the aliens?
Well, thanks for everything, but we have to go now.
That's right. Mike, don't we have to?
We have to get back, because we've got...
This thing.
Yeah, we've got a thing.
Definitely a thing. We've got to...
Yeah, so we'll just be going along now.
What about this? Yeah, AE-35.
Right. How much do we owe you?
We already paid up when you dropped it off when you first moved here.
Okay, so we're good then. Ready, Kathy?
Yeah, we better get going.
You can't go now. Mr. Moody's not done telling you about the town.
Oh, well, how much longer will this take?
Just till the end of the episode, I promise.
Kathy, remember, we've got that thing.
What could it hurt to hear him out?
Okay, you're the boss. Okay, Moody, you're on. Tell us about the Republicans and the aliens.
Well, now I've got to ask you some questions. In all these shows we're talking about, did you ever see any black folks?
No.
Poor people?
No.
Did you ever hear anybody ever talk about unions?
No.
Civil rights? Women's rights? National politics? World affairs?
No, 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 and no. What are you getting at?
Here in Springfield, we got better things to talk about. Like Bud trying to get a job as a stock clerk, or Beavis got a crush on Miss Canfield, or Ozzie and that dimwit Joe Randolph think up a practical joke to pull on their wives. You know, important stuff like that.
But what does that have to do with aliens and Republicans?
It's Republicans and aliens, in that order.
It's more like Republicans than aliens.
That's right, little girl. First Republicans, then aliens. Now, looky here. You got a whole town taking drugs so they can stand to churn out a version of American life that doesn't have any poor people in it. There's no need to talk about civil rights because there aren't any black folks. And everybody is happy at their job, so who needs unions?
It's a Republican paradise. No sex or rock and roll.
So who do you suppose was behind the scenes here? Who do you suppose was footing the bill to put out the idea that this is what it's like in the good old USA?
Republicans?
Right you are, little lady. The same folks that dreamed up I Like Ike.
Now tell them about the aliens.
Well, don't rush me. I'm getting to it. Did you ever see that movie that came out a few years back? Invasion of the Body Snatchers?
They filmed that here?
No, of course not. But the writer fellow who wrote the story drove through here. And Springfield must have made quite an impression on him.
You mean there really are pods from outer space? And when you go to sleep?
That's not how it works at all.
You mean the movie lied?
That was a movie. They had to change a bunch of stuff around so they could get it made. They had to make it more dramatic.
What do you mean?
Well, the process is pretty dull, actually. You gotta remember, everybody was shuffling around like zombies from the drugs in the water, and that makes folks susceptible to the collective hive mind of the Borg.
The Borg?
Yep. That's what they call it.
The Borg. How can you tell when that's happened to someone?
That's easy. Nobody gets any older. Well, a little bit. But it takes a really long time.
Well, take a look at the Viva, or anybody from those shows. They've been on for years, but hardly anybody's aged at all.
But those are reruns, aren't they?
Nope. After a while, the aliens realize there wasn't any reason to write new stories, so they keep doing the same scripts over and over.
But what's the point? Why are they doing this?
You know, for a smart fella, you sure don't know very much about aliens.
Once again, not covered in the manual.
What aliens always want. To take over the planet, that's what.
But world domination through sitcoms? That's crazy.
Not if it works. What's the name of that German philosopher fella? You know, the one who said, if you gaze into the abyss gazes also into you?
Nietzsche. Friedrich Nietzsche.
Now, that's the one. Never could pronounce his name the same way twice.
Tell him about the observer effect.
Oh, I know that one. That's one of the basic premises of quantum theory. It states that the very act of watching, the observer affects the observed reality.
Quantum theory?
It was in the manual.
Now put them together, and what do you got?
Bibbidi bobbidi boo?
Well, that, and the takeover of human beings by invaders from outer space. Here's how it works. How long have people been watching these shows on the TV where you folks are from?
50 years.
Yeah. And when you stare at these things over and over, it stares back, correct?
Yeah.
And just by watching this stuff, the people watching this stuff...
So you're saying Father Knows Best, Leave It to Beaver, Ozzie and Harriet is the abyss?
Aye, and it stares back into whatever's watching. Changes whoever's watching it. Just a little bit, and you watch it again, and it changes you a little more.
And whatever you're watching changes too.
That's right. The abyss changes and adapts, and the people staring into it change and adapt to it. Now, what do you suppose that does to people after 50 years or so? What are people like where you're from?
Well, the literacy rate's gone down. People believe in angels instead of facts.
They're getting dumber, aren't they? They're not paying attention to what's going on around them, and sooner than later... Bingo! Here come the Borg!
How do you know all this? You're not from around here, are you?
Not really. You might say I'm just kind of an observer.
How come you and Molly haven't been taken over?
Well, I'm not partial to water, and Molly here seems to exist entirely on Yoo-hoos.
So, what are we supposed to do?
Well, I told you in the last episode. Take the AE-35, whatchamacallit, Molly and your little dog, and get out of here before it's too late. And that means now.
What'll happen if we don't leave right away?
Well, something's been building up, and I think they're going to make their move. move here pretty quick. There's a meeting in a little while in the town square with all the production companies. I don't think we should stick around and see what will happen next.
We?
You don't mind if I tag along, do you? I could be kind of handy if your machine breaks down again.
What's that?
It appears the fun has already started.
What the hell is that?
Looks like they're putting on their season finale.
Mike, look over there. The lights.
What the hell is it? It's aimed at the sky.
It's not the sky they're aiming at. It's the future.
Mike, look out!
Good God, it's...
Obscure metaphysical explanation to cover a phenomena. Reasons dredged out of the shadows to explain away that which cannot be explained. Call it parallel planes or just insanity. Whatever it is, you find it in the Twilight Zone.
Aliens and Republicans joining forces to take over the world? You don't hear something like that every day, friends and neighbors. Round and round she goes, and how weird it will get, nobody knows. Here's a glimpse into our next mind-shredding episode.
We don't have to be mean, because remember, no matter where you go, there you are.
For more heart-pounding excitement, be sure to tune in next time for the return of Mike Malloy, Radio Gumshoe.
Written and produced by Bob Alexander. Performed by the Mighty Malloy Radio Players. I can't wait till the next episode. William is in Hollywood, California, who emails me very frequently. Hi, William.
Hi, Mike.
How are you?
I'm still alive.
that's always good. That's always good.
Yeah, I guess. God. I'm sitting here, you know, I just run on emotion. I'm listening to your Radio Gumshoe, and I'm hearing, first I'm hearing Carly Simon music, which brings me back a long time ago. And then I hear Dather's Still Music and Bob Alexander's, you know, Radio Gumshoe, and then the Twilight Zone.
It got you confused, right?
Oh, man, I forgot why I even called.
Right. Well, I completely understand.
I mean, I haven't called since, like, May of 2006.
Oh, I know. It's been a long time.
Yeah. And I just had this impulse to call tonight. And, God, I don't even know where to begin. I mean, I know I don't have much time. But
it's always best to begin at the beginning.
Yes.
All right, I'll tell you what. I've got to take a break here. So here's what I want you to do, William. Think about where you want to start, and we'll come back, and you'll be right there at the beginning. All right? So this way, no distractions. Just kick back and listen to the commercials and the music. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
It's just a jump to the left.
Before the hour, this hour has been sponsored by Clark Morgan. Thank you, Clark. The message, the Mike Malloy Show, there's nothing like it on the radio. Thanks, Mike and Kathy. Thanks, Clark Morgan. All right, William is in Hollywood, California, and now you're ready to begin at the beginning, right?
Yeah, I hope so.
Okay.
Excuse me. I'm trying to tie this all together.
Okay.
And I just look at what I see in this world right now, and I see people that just don't care about other people. They're just in their own world, wrapped up in their own world with their cell phones and everything else, okay? And I tie that into the wars, which are horrific and should end. I don't know why we're in any country anymore doing this horrific things. And I see the soldiers on the television, you know, with arms and legs missing and all these things. And it's... And then I go from that to what we do to the planet, which we've been destroying this planet for a long time. And we have plenty of warnings. I mean, even, you know, just to go back to the Day That Is Still, which you played a bit of, the music, and the Twilight Zone. I mean, in those movies alone, and in those programs alone, there were warnings of what was to come. And it pretty much came true. And then you go to Fukushima and in these nuclear power plants all over the country on fault lines here in California. And, and I just try, you know, I try to get wrap my head around all of this. And then I just got to leave. I have to leave religion completely out of the picture because that is the most insane thing in the world to me. But part of the, a lot of this country believes in this, you know? And they try to twist reality into that realm, and they seem to make it all go away. Oh, we're forgiven because we did all these horrific things, but we're forgiven. That's baloney, you know?
I think it is, too.
And I don't even know where to, where I even fit into this planet anymore. I mean, it's... I try to do the best I can. I'm an honest person, you know, and there's plenty of honest people out there, but they are the ones who seem to get stomped on the most. And whether it's, you know, the people that go into the military for whatever reason, I mean, there's many reasons they join or, you know, they sign up. And I know it's like sort of a brotherhood, and I can understand that part of it, you know. Because, you know, you're looking out for someone else's back. I mean, you're in a situation where you have to. And but then you tie in all these things where you, you know, if I dare turn on a television set and see the news and you see all these horrific things about children missing and somebody trying to open a lemonade stand and they get fined for it and all these insane things, you know. And you try, and then I'm trying to figure out what has happened to mankind. You know?
You're wrestling with some pretty big issues there, aren't you, William?
Oh, yeah, because, you know, at my age, I'm starting to, you know, I go to sleep at night, and I don't sleep very well. I wake up, and I'm startled awake, all of a sudden the reality sets in. You know, then I can't go back to sleep because all these things are floating through my head. And I'm looking for a solution. You know, I have to go back to John Lennon. You know, there's problems, but there's only solutions, you know?
Yeah.
And a lot of times I wonder what he would think of it, what he would be and what he would think of what this world is now compared to way back then before all this new technology, you know?
Right.
And even technology, in a way, I mean, I use a computer and stuff, but I'm not all that into it. And I wonder how much of that alone, with the cell phones and then all the high technology and all that, is that how much more of a damage is that done than good? And it all ties into the wars and everything else, you know, because that's all technology. You know, they want to make smart bombs and these drones and, I mean, what are we doing?
Well, William, I hear what you're saying, and you are struggling with the same stuff I think a lot of us are struggling with, trying to find what might be called a unified field theory where it concerns all the trash and scary stuff and horror that's going on. And, you know, a good unified field theory about all this stuff would give us at least a stationary target. The you know, the hard thing here, I think, for all of us is the fact that there just seems like there's so much that is happening that seems so out of control. And I think that's one of the reasons that people resort to guns and their Bibles, just like Obama said back during the campaign. In a way, people revert. You know, they can't crawl back up in the womb, so they grab a gun, they grab their religious text, whether it's a Bible or the Quran or whatever it is, and I don't know. I guess what they try to do, William, is build a wall. What a lot of us are doing, I shouldn't say they, what a lot of us are doing, some kind of a psychic wall, an emotional wall to protect ourselves. And, you know, I keep thinking about Pink Floyd's album, The Wall. It came out, what, 30 years ago? Was it that long ago? Couldn't have been. Nah. Well, I guess it was, wasn't it? And how, in these times, you try to tear down the wall. No. In these times, you need to build a wall. It's pretty scary. I have to leave it there, William. It's good to hear from you. I hope you don't wait another 5 years to call in. Thanks, William. Take care. Well, okay. On that note, William's call will give everybody something heavy-duty to think about, right? I'll see you all Monday. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are. Say goodnight, Kathy.
Goodnight, Kathy.
If you've been wondering about